This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So I said to this Shia man, why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? And he said, don't you know? I'm feeling really sad today. I'm feeling sad about the death of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Or as they say, alayhi salatu wasalam. I'm feeling really sad about Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So I said to him, are you feeling sad about someone who has gone to Jannah already? And he is from the Sayyidah Shabab al-Jannah, as the Prophet wasallam said, and you and I, both the Shia and the Sunni, we all agree that he is in Jannah already. So he said, I found my fathers upon this. So I said to him, do you follow your forefathers? Even if the Prophet ﷺ said, not to hit yourself, not to tear your chest open when something happens that is bad, not to slap your cheeks. Do you hit yourself over all of this? And so at that point, he did not answer. My brothers, my sisters in Islam, welcome to our talk today on the death of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. It is one of those incidences in the history of the Muslim Ummah that has changed the course of history, both for Islam as well as humanity. Today we have no less than 75 million people that call themselves Shia, 50 million plus in Iran, 20 or 30 million plus in Iraq and surrounding areas, and so many million in Pakistan, Bangladesh, or India, or many millions now around the world, now call themselves Shia. Shia to Ali, Shia of Al-Bayt. Shia meaning the party, or the group, or the supporting party of this of these people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy and be pleased with all of the home of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The story starts off in the year 571 of the Christian calendar with the birth of the greatest man that ever lived, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was born in the barren lands of Makkah as an orphan to a woman who gave birth to this man, not knowing that he is going to be the best of mankind. And then his mother passed away, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then he was raised by his uncle or grandfather until his grandfather passed away, raised by his uncle Abu Talib at from the age of 8 years old. And so he grew up as a young man and got married to Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu ta'ala anha at the age of 25. And then at the age of 40 came upon him Nubuwwah and prophethood. Then thereafter he was persecuted with the most severest of persecutions for 13 years until he moved to the city of Medina, wherein he was given refuge, and over there he found the help of the two warring tribes that became brothers and sisters in Islam, the Aus and Khazraj. So he stayed there for 10 years until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his life away, but not before he had built the greatest madrasa that was ever known, the madrasa of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon which the best of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took their tutelage and their training. And so Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu became the first Khalifa. And he was a Khalifa for only 2 years. And he was stabilizing the Ummah before his death came, at which point he referred the Khilafah onto Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Who better to take on the Khilafah than the man who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had said, had there been a prophet after me, it would have been Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So took on Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu al-Khilafah. And that was 2 years after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, after the death of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And the Ummah flourished for 10 years under the hukum of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But as the Prophet ﷺ said, that Islam has a door and the door will crack open. And the door did crack open by the death of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the fitna came into the Ummah. 10 years later he was killed by the daggers of a man known as Abu Lu'lu' al-Majusi, the man who killed Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu even whilst he was praying. So as the blood was seeping through and his spirit was leaving him, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu appointed 6 people, the 6 of the 10 that were still alive, from the 10 that were promised Jannah. He did not appoint his own son, but he appointed these 6 people to be of those people that would choose the next Khalifa. And so, alhamdulillah, the people chose Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And for the next 12 years, alhamdulillah, of the Khilafah of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the people were in peace and tranquility. Until the year 24 after Hijrah, where we now come to the time when over 6,000 people from the Khawarij, those who were unhappy about some of the rulings of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and they started to spread tales led by this man called Abdullah ibn Sabah, who was a Jewish man from Yemen who accepted Islam or feigned the acceptance of Islam, tried to come in and destroy Islam. So he gathered 6,000 people, came to Medina when all the Muslim soldiers were fighting in Africa, in Iraq, in Sham, opening up the outskirts of Europe, and they were all around, not there to protect the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because who dared kill Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of two of his daughters, mashallah tabarakallah, Dhun-Nunayn. And so those 6,000 people came to Medina and they sought from Uthman, come out or we will kill you. So Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in his courage and bravery, warned all the Sahaba, do not come out and do not fight. So at that point, my brothers and sisters of Islam, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed by the Khawarij. Those people who grabbed hold of the beard of Uthman as he was reading over the Mus'haf Uthmani, and they slit his throat and cut his head off. Ya salam. Out of what? They killed the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they wished to come close to Allah by killing his awliya. And so Uthman was killed. And when Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu was killed, the rest of the Sahaba, Talha and Zubair, went to Makkah because they saw these 6,000 people still there in Medina, seeking the next Khalifa. So they went to Makkah. And when they went to Makkah, they decided to seek revenge upon the killers of Uthman who were still there in Medina at that time. In the meanwhile, the bay'ah was completed to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But in the confusion that ensued between Makkah and Medina, with Makkah seeking revenge upon the people who killed Uthman, and Medina being unified under the Khilafah of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, at that time Sham decided to disagree. Sham meaning Syria, Lebanon, parts of Turkey, Philistine, that was under the command of the Amir of Sham, the Amir of both Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the Amir of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Muawiyah decided to disagree and ask for revenge against the killers of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But at that point, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, no, first let me stabilize. Because if these 6,000 people have dared to come to Medina to kill the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Khalifa of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then who knows how much instability is there in the Ummah currently at present. So let me stabilize the Ummah, then I will take revenge upon the people who have killed the Khalifa of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the people disagreed, and so there occurred the first battle between the Sahaba, which was the battle of the camel, between the army of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Talha and Zubair, when these people never fought themselves and they were simply at the background, and the army of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in which a number of the Sahaba passed away. May Allah enter both of them hand in hand, ikhwanan ala sururin mutaqabilin, into Jannah hand in hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overlook the mistakes of anyone. And alhamdulillah, though the truth was with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as the Prophet had predicted, however, the Sahaba are all inshallah ta'ala from those people who gave bay'ah to the Prophet ﷺ in bay'ah al-Ridwan, and the Ummah of Muhammad ﷺ have ijma', other than the Shia, the Ummah Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam have ijma' that the ones who gave bay'ah to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, bay'ah al-Ridwan, will never enter Jahannam. And there were close to 3,000 Sahaba that gave bay'ah to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time, many of whom passed away at that battle of the camel. So even if they were mistaken, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter them into Jannah, and they are bi'idhnillah su'ada fil Jannah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Inna alladhina sabaqat lahum minna al-husna ula'ika anha mub'adun. Verily those who goodness has preceded us towards them, they are away from it, meaning far away from Jahannam. It is for this reason, based upon this verse, that Ibn Hazm rahimullah said, all the companions of Rasulullah are in Jannah. So there happened another battle, which was known as the Battle of the Lesser Camel. Battle of the Lesser Camel that happened between the army of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and the people from those 6,000 that were going back to Basra. So Ali chased them and killed them, and that was the lesser battle of the camel and killed them. And then thereafter the battle of Siffin took place, wherein Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu battled Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and at that point, walhamdulillah, the haq was again with Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'een. The people who aided Ali at that time were of two parts, two types. One were the Shia to Ali, or the people who supported Ali. Those people who were unfortunately convinced by Abdullah ibn Saba, this man who was this Yahudi who claimed to be a Muslim from Yemen, who started to say that Ali is the true Khalifa. He really should have been the Khalifa after Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Don't you see how Ali was the man who Rasulullah ﷺ gave the sword to in the Battle of Khaybar? Don't you see how Ali married Rasulullah ﷺ, married his daughter, his most precious thing, to Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not to Abu Bakr or to Umar? Don't you see that? Therefore Ali must have been the true Khalifa. Then he started to say Ali was the Mahdi. Then he started to say Ali was actually a prophet of God, until Abdullah ibn Saba even said, Ali, you are God. So Ali had Abdullah ibn Saba killed. Ali killed Abdullah ibn Saba by burning him alive. And he said, you have said something which has not been said by anyone, so I'm going to kill you in a way in which no one has been killed. So Abdullah ibn Saba was burnt alive by Ali. And so at that point, Abdullah ibn Saba, whilst he was being killed, he said, this is further evidence that you are God, because no one punishes by killing by fire except God. And so therefore, ya salam, this man died, but not before he had confused people of Iraq. You see, people of Iraq used to believe that their king, the Persian king, was a representative of God on this earth. And they used to believe that. That's why they used to consider the king to be God on earth. And that's why they used to support their kings with every single thing that they had, fighting to death. Because if they did not support their God king in this dunya, then how would their God king give them Jannah in the Akhirah? And so as a result, for them, those people who were new to Islam, this ideology that Ali was God, or that Ali was the one who was true, the true Khalifa, became very easy to them, came very easily to them, and was very easily accepted and supported by them. And because Ali had used fire to kill Abdullah ibn Saba, so therefore these guys who were fire worshippers before, they thought that this was further evidence that this was Ali reincarnated from the same God fire. So Ikhwani, what happened was Iraq became a place that were known as the Shia to Ali, or the party of Ali, a group of people who supported Ali. These were not people who hated Abu Bakr and Umar. They simply thought that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had more right to be the Khalifa rather than some of the other Khalifas. And so they supported Ali against the Sahaba. And so when the Sahaba fought Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they did takfir of the Sahaba. And when Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu fought Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in the Battle of Siffin, they did takfir of Muawiyah. And as a result, every single thing after that, they hated. Except for a group of the party of Ali. Remember I said there were two parties in the group of Ali. One was the Shia, right? And they were the party of Ali. And they loved Ali to death. And there was another group that hated Ali, but they supported Ali because they hated Uthman. They were the killers of Uthman. When they killed Uthman, they wanted someone else to be the Khalifa. So when Ali became the Khalifa, they supported Ali. They were approximately 2,000 people in number. They were the Khawarij. And this group, they decided to fight the Sahaba they fought the battle of Siffin, of the lesser camel. And in the battle of Siffin, when Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to not disagree any further, at that point this group started to say, "Inil hukmu illa lillah." The hukm is nothing but to Allah. And so this group decided to fight Ali himself. This group were the Khawarij. They are the ones who Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned and said that they will leave this religion faster than a sword, faster than an arrow leaves the bow when it is shot. Meaning that these people are out of Islam. Also in the authentic hadith, the Prophet said, when you look at them, you will belittle your own salah and you will belittle your own recitation of Quran, because these people are very, very righteous openly, but in their hatred, in their heart, they hate Islam and Muslimin. They hate Muslimin. They only want to hurt and harm Muslimin. And so, Ikhwani, this group called the Khawarij, Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu sent Ibn Abbas to them. And so half of them came back, being convinced by Ibn Abbas. But the other half decided to stay and fight Ali. So Ali fought them and killed majority of them. And the rest of them, they fled into the Muslim world. Today, the remnants of the Khawarij are the Abadiyya of Oman. And they are the ones who have taken on the same akhlaq and the tarbiyah of them. Also the Wahhabiyya of Egypt, upon whom the people, the Sufi people say that Muhammad Abdul Wahhab is a Wahhabi. Rather, they refer actually to the Wahhabi of Egypt. They were the actual Khawarij. They came at the same time. They existed at the same time as Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah. But because Muhammad Abdul Wahhab's name was Wahhab, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, but these people were called Wahhabis in Egypt, and they were Khawarij, and they used to kill Muslims. Some of the extreme Shia, they started to make the comparison between the two, until they started to say that the da'wah of Muhammad Abdul Wahhab is the same as the da'wah of the Wahhabiyya of this Khawarij that used to kill Muslims in Egypt. But they are two different sects. They're two different groups of people. Muhammad Abdul Wahhab was a Hanbali scholar that lived in the Hijaz, whereas the Wahhabiyya were a group that were deviant, that used to kill Muslims in Egypt, and they were the remnants of the Khawarij that were alive till today. So Ikhwani, what happened then at that point was the Khawarij, when they were killed off by Ali, three of them got together. Three of the Khawarij got together and they decided to say, we are going to rid the Ummah of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the three enemies of God. Who are the three enemies of God? One of them was Ali. They said Ali was the enemy of God. The second one was Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the second enemy of God, they said. The third was Amr ibn al-As, who was in Egypt at that time, and he controlled Egypt and Africa and Tunisia and Maghreb and all those countries of North Africa that had come under Islam at that time. So he was a great Amir over Egypt and its surrounding areas at that time. And so these three went out to kill. One of them succeeded in killing, and he was the one who killed one of the Khawarij. He was the one who killed Ali after Fajr. When Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu prayed Fajr, this man came out from the dark shadows and he dug a dagger into the back of Ali, a poison dagger, from which Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu passed away. The second one, Bakr, his name was Bakr, he tried to kill Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but he only ended up injuring Muawiyah, and Muawiyah was not killed. Whereas the third one, he thought that someone was Amr ibn al-As, so he killed him, thinking that person was Amr ibn al-As, but he was not Amr ibn al-As. Allah had saved Amr ibn al-As. So Ali was killed by one of the Khawarij. When that happened, obviously the Shia again rose up again, because the sentiments were there already. They already felt like their ruler, their righteous ruler Ali, was being hurt and harmed. And so as a result, they used to consider the Khawarij were being sent by the Sahaba. The Sahaba were the ones who instigated the Khawarij to kill Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. But the Sahaba are completely innocent of that. Do you see how the web of lies have been built? And so upon the death of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the 40th of Hijrah, on the 41st of Hijrah, for 6 months he became the Khalifa. Hassan became the Khalifa at that time. For 6 months he was the Khalifa. And at that point, remember that Ahlul Sham was still the anti-Ali sentiments, and Ahlul Iraq was the pro-Ali sentiments. And Al-Hasan didn't know how to join between their hearts. So the way he decided to join between the hearts is by saying that I am going to resign as the Khalifa. So he resigned as the Khalifa and he appointed Muawiyah as the Khalifa. And he gave bay'ah to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so did Al-Husayn give bay'ah to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And so did all the Sahaba give bay'ah to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And thus, therefore, on the 41 after Hijrah, right? Number 41, the year 41 after Hijrah, Muawiyah was given bay'ah by Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn and by all of the Sahaba, and he became the legitimate ruler of the Muslim world at that time. So for 20 years, the reign of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu lasted, walhamdulillah. For 20 years, until the year 60 after Hijrah. For 20 years, Islam expanded everywhere. Islam expanded to Europe. Islam expanded to Italy, where all of Italy was Muslim. All of Sicily was Muslim. All of Macedonia was Muslim. All of North Africa became Muslim. Islam started to spread to the east as well, to Afghanistan, past Iraq, past Iran, towards Afghanistan. Islam started to spread, walhamdulillah, under the commander in chief who was Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in, who was one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and from the Qurayshiyin. So there came the 60th of Hijrah, when we come towards the end of the life of Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he decided to make his son Yazid the Khalifa. And his decision was not based upon anything except that he made ijtihad. And he thought that his son was more worthy because his son was with him and seeing how the Khalifa should run and how Khilafah should be run in this new age and this new time. Because now the Muslim world wasn't only in Hijaz and only in Sham and in Iraq, but it had spread to Europe, it had spread to North Africa, it had spread east. So he thought that someone who was tutelaged, who was taught more in the Imara, in the language of governance, should be the one who should take over. So he chose his son Yazid to be the Khalifa. And so at that point, two Sahaba decided to not agree. Those two Sahaba was Abdullah ibn Zubair, the son of Zubair, Abdullah ibn Zubair, and of course Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Al-Hassan had passed away 11 years ago. 9 years after he had given bay'ah to Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Al-Hassan rahimahullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu had passed away. 11 years later, upon the death of Muawiyah, when Yazid took over, then for many months people started to give bay'ah to Yazid, except for two people decided to not give bay'ah, because that they thought that this was inappropriate and mistaken. Who were those two? Abdullah ibn Zubair, and the other was Al-Husayn ibn Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, Al-Husayn was a very handsome man. He was a man who everyone wanted their daughters to marry him. In fact, it was reported that there was no one except that they wanted their daughters to marry Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why? Because no one resembled, looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as much as Hussein looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His nose, his eyes, his ears, his face looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The beard that he had looked like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So out of love, can you see the love of the people for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that they wanted their daughters to marry into the family of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And how great is it that today we love our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we make dua for him and his family in our salawat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa Ali Ibrahim, wa barik Allahumma ala Muhammadin wa ala Ali Muhammad, kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa Ali Ibrahim fil alameen, innaka hamidun majid. And that is why some of the scholars say, it is better to say Al-Husayn ibn Fatima, because Fatima is more ashraf than Ali, because Fatima was closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in lineage, even though you can still say Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn bin Ali, because of attribution to the father. But you can even attribute to the mother in this case, because that is by the sharaf of the lineage, yeah, the honor of the closeness of the lineage to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, at that point, both of them went to Makkah. At that point, the wali or the amir of Medina at that point, who was not a very wise man, who was appointed by Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Yazid ibn Muawiyah heard from the amir of Medina, who's known as the wali of Medina, that Hassan al-Husayn and Abdullah ibn Zubair had not given bay'ah. And so Yazid decided to become very hard, and he decided to say, no, you must give bay'ah. Al-Husayn did not declare himself Khalifa. He did not say, I'm more worthy of Khalifa. He didn't say that. He just said, I think you are not the most worthy of it. And so he did not agree to give the bay'ah. But that's it. He didn't assume Khilafah himself. He didn't ask for Imara himself. He didn't say, everyone, give me bay'ah instead of so-and-so. Right? He didn't do that. Rather, he simply went to Makkah, because in Makkah, the wali of Makkah or the amir of Makkah was a more wiser man. And he decided to not pressure them, because if you don't want to give bay'ah, but you have no problems in living under the rule of Yazid, then no problem, right? And so they went to live in Makkah. In Makkah, the people of Kufa, which is in Iraq, they heard about, Kufa was one of the biggest cities. Basra and Kufa were the two biggest cities in Iraq. And so the people of Kufa in Iraq heard about the fact that Al-Husayn did not give bay'ah to Yazid. And so at that point, they started to send letters after letters to Husayn in Makkah. They started to send letters after letters to Husayn in Makkah. What do you mean by letter? A letter is basically a piece of paper where they wrote down their pledge. It was called a kitab. Why was it called a kitab? Because it was covered up, closed up, sealed up very properly. Right? They sealed it very properly lest no one finds out. No one finds out their name. So it's called the kitab. So they wrote their thing. Oh, Ya Husayn, please come to Iraq. We will support you. We will help you. We will do everything to you. And we also have not given bay'ah to Yazid. We also disagree about Yazid. We want to give bay'ah to you. You are the rightful Khalifa. And Husayn didn't pay any attention to it. But the number of letters, they said, reached over 500 until his house, Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house was full of letters from Iraq. They said over 12,000 people had sent letters to Husayn. 12,000 people had sent letters to Husayn saying that we give you bay'ah to come to Kufa. If you come to Kufa, we will give you the bay'ah and you are the Khalifa. So Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu became overwhelmed by the number of people that were asking him to come. At the same time, the Sahaba that were there at that time, they used to tell him, no, Ya Husayn, don't go. So Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was reported that he told him not to go. And it was also reported that Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who had become blind at that time and he was to live in Makkah, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Husayn, show me where you are so my hands can grab your hair. And if the people did not think that this would be rude, I would have grabbed your hair and your beard and your hair and not let you go. This is Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to tell him, do not go. These people, we don't trust them. These people, there's something wrong about them. The Prophet ﷺ said, verily the two horns of shaitan will come out of Hijaz. The word Hijaz meant Iraq. At that time, one of the names of Iraq was Hijaz. It is not Hijaz, what is known as Hijaz now. Rather, one of the names of Iraq was Hijaz. So the Prophet had already warned that the two horns of shaitan come out of Iraq. A lot of fitna will come from Iraq. But Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to leave. He said, 12,000 people have given me bay'ah. What did he do? He said, okay, before I leave, and because of so many sahaba telling him not to go, he decided to send his cousin, whose name was Muslim ibn Aqil. He sent Muslim ibn Aqil, who was his cousin, to Iraq, and said, can you go and suss out whether these people are true or not? Are there that many people really giving me bay'ah, or is it just a khida', meaning a deception? So Muslim ibn Aqil radiallahu ta'ala anhu went off to Iraq. And when he went to Iraq, he found that 18,000 people were willing to give him bay'ah. So 18,000 people, one by one, came to Muslim ibn Aqil. 18,000 on top of the 12,000. So in total, 30,000 people gave bay'ah to Muslim ibn Aqil. 18,000 gave bay'ah to Muslim ibn Aqil, plus the 12,000 that had written letters. They gave bay'ah to Muslim ibn Aqil that they were giving bay'ah to Al-Husayn. So Muslim ibn Aqil sent a letter off to Husayn saying, come, come, they have given bay'ah. There is a total of 30,000 people here to support you. Ikhwani, 30,000 people is not a small number. It's a massive number at that time. There were millions of people in Kufa. 30,000 people would be approximately more than half of Kufa already. Do you understand what I'm saying? 30,000 people is a lot of people. Lot of people. So they gave bay'ah to Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu through Muslim ibn Aqil. And Muslim ibn Aqil, and as a result, Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to leave. So it was reported that on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah, whilst letters from Muslim ibn Aqil was coming to come, Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the 8th of Dhul Hijjah decided to leave. So the Sahaba said, why don't you do Hajj? There's only 2 days left for Hajj. Arafat is day after tomorrow, and then after that is going to be the day of Eid. Stay and do Hajj. But he decided to leave before Hajj. And so the Sahaba who had come for Hajj, they couldn't leave to go after him and held him back, because they had come for Hajj to Makkah. You can't leave before Hajj, can you, if you have come to Hajj for Makkah? So at that point, Husayn had left, and as a result, no one was able to catch him except Ibn Umar, who was coming back from Medina at that time. And Ibn Umar said, will these people increase you in Jannah? Will they give you Jannah or stop you from Jahannam? Said, no. Then, Husayn, come back with me. Come back with me to Makkah. But Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to still go to Kufa. Why did he go to Kufa? Because he sought kingdom? No, he went to Kufa because 30,000 people said that you are the righteous Khalifa we are given bay'ah to. So his point was that there is a huge group amongst the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who gave bay'ah to Yazid. And there was an even bigger group as well that were not willing to give bay'ah to Yazid. So this would lead to fitna again, correct? The same fitna that his brother let down the Khilafah for, to join the hearts between Ahl-e Iraq and Ahl-e Sham. So Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu decided to go to Iraq. On the way, the two dalils, the dalil meaning the ones who are those who know the roads, they're called dalils, right? Those dalils, two of them, both of them died. And so Husayn felt something in his heart that perhaps this was a bad omen, that I should not go, that perhaps this was a bad omen. But the numbers of people started to come out of Kufa to meet Husayn on the way, because the word started to spread that Husayn was indeed on his way to Kufa. Number of people started to leave Kufa, go to Husayn and join him. And so as a result, Husayn said, no, I should still continue. Remember, Husayn did not have an army with him. He had his family, his wives, his children, his six-month-old baby with him. He had 18 other family members from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him. 18 others from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were with him. He didn't have any army. They had their normal swords and spears that no anyone takes in a travel, and they went off to Kufa on the way. In the meanwhile, my brothers and sisters of Islam, in the meanwhile, Muslim Ibn Aqil and all his expiates at getting the bay'ah from the people were now becoming well known. And so Yazid found out about this. Whilst he's in Sham, the Khalifa Yazid, he found out that indeed Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn was going to Kufa, and this would set up a rivalry Khalifa against him. So he told Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the Khalifa or the Wali or the Amir over Kufa, to step down. He said, you are too weak. You could not stop Muslim ibn Aqil from taking bay'ah. You're too weak. This is Nu'man ibn Bashir, the Sahabi. Sahabi al-Jalil. He put him down, and he put his own man in there. Who was his own man? And that was Yazid. That was Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. Ubaidullah bin Ziyad, the supporter of Yazid, Ubaidullah bin Ziyad. Remember this man, Ubaidullah. And this was the evil man that unfortunately is going to be responsible over the death of Husayn. So Ubaidullah bin Ziyad took over now the amirship of Kufa. And when now he had taken over, he decided to send out spies. So he sent out a man called Ma'qal, who was a very well-known he was a very well-known person, but he was actually a spy. He gave him 3,000 dirhams and said, you go and find where Muslim bin Aqil is and find out every single thing that he was doing. So at that point, Muslim Ma'qal, he changed himself, he changed his beard, he put on different thiyab, he changed his appearance, and he started to go to those masjids that were well known to be supporters of Hussein. And he pretended to be a man from Sham. I'm from Sham and I support Al-Hussein, he started to say. And there are a lot of people in Sham, you don't know, I know them. They are going to support Hussein as well. If only I knew how to join Hussein. And so people started to believe him until they pointed him to Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil came for Dhuhr prayer and Ma'qal met him and he started to lie to him and tell him that indeed I am a supporter from Sham, from Hussein, and if I only knew who Muslim ibn Aqil was, then I would indeed support him as well. So Muslim ibn Aqil believed him. And so he said, I am Muslim ibn Aqil, come back with us. Muslim ibn Aqil used to live in the house of one of the noblemen of Kufa who used to support Al-Hussein. His name was Hani, his name was Hana bin Urwa. Hana bin Urwa was one of the noblemen of Kufa. Remember that name as well. Remember Muslim ibn Aqil, remember Ubaydullah bin Ziyad, the tyrant, and remember Hani bin Urwa. Hani bin Urwa's house was big and massive. That was the place where Muslim ibn Aqil was hiding. That was the place where all the people who would support Hussein used to come to have secret meetings. But when they bought this man, Ma'qal, then Ma'qal would stay the whole day. So he knew everything that happened in the morning and at night. And at night he would say, look, I'm going to go off to my cousin who lives in Kufa. I'm going to go sleep in his house. But actually he was going back to Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and telling him everything that was happening that day. The names of those people who were coming. Who were they? Which house do they belong to? Which tribe do they belong to? So Ziyad, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad made a list of every single person that had given bay'ah of those 30,000 people that had given bay'ah to Al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And so what happened? What happened was Al-Husayn radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was on his way and Ziyad, Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad, decided to up the ante. And so he put up a bounty on the head of Muslim ibn Aqil. He put up a bounty on his head. And he also asked for Hani ibn Urwa to come to his place. He said, call Hani ibn Urwa, come to my place. And at that point, Hani ibn Urwa came and he said, where are you, ya Ubaydullah? Said, where are you, O Hani? Why didn't you come to meet me these days? You are the nobleman of Kufa. Why didn't you come to meet me these days? I said, oh, I'm just sick these days. I said, so he told him, are you sick or are you actually hiding Muslim ibn Aqil? And so at that point, his secret was discovered. So an army was sent off to the house of Hani ibn Urwa. At that point, Hani was imprisoned and an army was sent off to get Muslim ibn Aqil. Muslim ibn Aqil heard about this, so he called out to the 30,000 people that had given bay'ah to him, to Al-Hussein through him, and said, where are you? Of the 30,000, only 3,000 came to join him, or 4,000 people. Right? Can you imagine? This is the example of the khida that starts. Out of the 30,000, only 3,000 or 4,000 people came with Muslim ibn Aqil. So Muslim ibn Aqil went to the court and of the palace of Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad and stood there at the gates demanding Ubaydullah to come out and speak to him, saying, you ask for me, I'm here with my army. So we can negotiate, right? He wanted negotiation, not battle. But Ubaydullah ibn Ziyad knew every single one of them because he had a list of them. And so what he did was he paid off their families. And he got their women to come to them and say, convince their husbands to come back home. And so by Dhuhr prayer, there were 4,000 of them. By Asr prayer, there was 360 of them. By Maghrib prayer, only 60 remained. By Isha prayer, no one remained but Muslim ibn Aqil. Can you imagine? Subhanallah. Is it that easy to give up your bay'ah? Is it that easy to give up your bay'ah? But this is how these people work. Just from a little bit of money, and a little bit of convincing from your wife and your women, these people left and they became more afraid over their families rather than the bay'ah that they had given to Al-Husayn. And so at that point, Muslim ibn Aqil, he fled, but he was found and he was cornered, and he was at that point himself and Hana ibn Urwa, they were both killed. Their heads were chopped, their bodies were thrown, and they were stuck up from the markets so that people could see, this is what we do to those people who are treacherous to the Khalifa. Allahu musta'an. And at that point, news came to Al-Husayn. Whilst Husayn had reached the land of Karbala, and this was nearing the 9th or the 10th of Muharram, it had taken almost a month to reach Kufa. And when he had reached that place, it was reported in some of the Shia books, it is reported that Al-Husayn said, "What is this land?" "It's called Karbala." So Al-Husayn said, "Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-karbi wal-bala." "Oh Allah, I seek refuge from you from karb and bala." Karb means the disaster and bala meaning the tribulation. "I seek refuge in you from the karb and from the bala." So ikhwani, that land which is Karbala is the land upon which Husayn will be killed, and I'll come to that in just a bit. But today Karbala, we have 1 million people who will be going to perform pilgrimage to Karbala tomorrow. 1 million people will be going there. The soil of Karbala is sold now as sacred soil. People keep a piece of earth from Karbala. So when the Shia pray, they keep a piece of earth. Have you seen that they put their head on? What is that? They're actually saying that piece of earth is actually the soil of Karbala, the holy sand, the holy soil upon which Husayn was killed. In fact, they say that prayer to Karbala is better than prayer towards Makkah. Ya Ikhwani, can you think of this? How is it that the land upon which the Prophet grandson was killed, how can that be holy? How can you glorify that land? It's like the Christians who glorify the cross. In a poem, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, he speaks out to the Christians and he says, "Ya, oh the worshippers of the cross, if you think that your God, or the God of alameen, of mankind and jinn and all of creation, was crucified on this cross whilst his hands were being hit with irons and his neck was being torn with the ropes and his body was being bashed on a cross, you should be destroying that cross and you should be stamping on that cross, not glorifying it." But today they glorify their cross. They say, they go like this as a cross, and they wear the cross and they glorify the cross in the same way the Shia glorify Karbala, even though it is a place to be rejected and to be looked down upon, just like the cross should be looked down upon if indeed it was their God that was crucified on it. Is it not so? But this is the uqul al-nas, the logic of people today, that unfortunately they think that this is a sacred area, subhanallah. So in Karbala on the 10th of Muharram, Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he had 73 people with him, of which some were women, yeah? Some were, of which he had a few women on top of that. About 100 people were with him. Some were children, some were women. They were not dressed for war. They were not prepared for battle. They didn't have their horses or their camels with them, all of them. They were sharing beasts, riding beasts. And in the opposing army that came to oppose them in the land of Karbala in Iraq, was 5,000 soldiers. So what is 100 versus 5,000? It doesn't even count. And so Husayn said to them, "Give me one of three options. Either let me return back to Makkah, where I'm from, or Medina, or let me join one of the battles that the Muslims are fighting around the world in opening up some of the frontiers of the Muslim land, such as in Europe or in North Africa or somewhere in the East Asia, or let me go back to Yazid in Sham. But those people, they said no. They said, no, you must come back to no one other than Ubaydullah bin Ziyad. He is the one who got you, and in one way or the other, Ubaydullah wanted his prize. He wanted to show that he was the ruler and he could be trusted, and he wanted more wealth and money from Yazid. And so he wanted to bring Hussein as his prize and as his captor rather than the other way around. And he didn't want Hussein to go free. And so Hussein said, no way, under any circumstances am I going to be taken as a prisoner. I am from the family of the Prophet ﷺ. And he went out on the land of that battle. He stood before his 73 people and before the 5,000 army, and he called out, oh so and so, did you not send me the letter that you gave me bay'ah? Oh so and so, did you not send me? You, this is your name. You are the one who gave bay'ah to me. One by one, he read out their names. He called out their names. It was the same people who gave him bay'ah that also came to kill him. The same people that gave him bay'ah were now going to commit treachery. And who were these people? As I'm going to come to you, they were the Shia themselves. Meaning the ones who killed Hussein were the Shia themselves. And we're going to come to that, inshallah, from the books of the Shia, proving to you that even they acknowledge that the Shia killed Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu ajma'in. So ikhwani, what happened? So Hussein decided that he will never be taken as a prisoner. And the other army said, yes, you must not come except as a prisoner. So they fought until every one of the 73 men were killed, and of them were 18 of the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of those people that were killed were Hussein, as you know, from the children of Ali. Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu had 39 children, and other than Hassan Hussein, who were from Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Fatima passed away 6 months after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then Ali married many, many women after that. He had 39 children after that. From the 39 children, Abbas bin Ali, so this is not from the same mother, but from a different, so it's the stepbrothers, right? The stepbrothers of Hussein, they were also killed. Abbas ibn Ali was killed. Muhammad bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also killed. Ja'far ibn Ali was also killed. Yeah? Ja'far ibn Ali. Also, and these were also, these three people that were killed, even the Shia and the Sunnis agree. But the Shia books don't mention two others that were also killed. Abu Bakr bin Ali, who was killed, and also Uthman ibn Ali was also killed. Why don't they mention their names? Because Ali had named them Abu Bakr and Uthman. Can you see the love of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu for Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman, that he named his children after them? And so they don't mention their names. Also from the children of Hussein that were killed at that battle was Abdullah ibn Hussein bin Ali and Al-Qasim bin Hussein ibn Ali and Abu Bakr bin Hussein bin Ali. So Abu Bakr is also not mentioned by the Shia because they don't mention his name out of the fact that they want to hide the fact that these people loved Abu Bakr and Umar, Allahul Musta'an. Also Ali al-Akbar, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, loved his father so much that he named two of his children as Ali. One of them was known as Ali al-Akbar, Ali the bigger Ali, and the other one was called Ali the smaller Ali, or Ali al-Asghar. And Ali al-Asghar was called Zain al-Abidin because he was a very righteous man as well. Zain al-Abidin could not participate in the battle. He was a 74th person. He couldn't participate in the battle because he was very sick. So he was the only man that escaped death on that day, and the women also escaped death. But every other person, 18 family members of the Prophet ﷺ were killed on that day. Ya Ikhwani, I want to tell you and show you how from the books of the Shia, and I'm going to quote to you from the books of the Shia, that the people who killed the family of the Prophet ﷺ on the 10th of Muharram were the Shia themselves. In fact, in Nahj al-Balagha, which is the same as Bukhari to us. You know how Bukhari is to us? Nahj al-Balagha is to the Shia. Okay? In the book Nahj al-Balagha, in the chapter, in the volume 1, page 142, it is quoted that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Ya Ahla Kufa, O the people of Kufa, you are summun dhu asma', and you guys, you are deaf, but you have ears. Bukmun, you cannot speak, but you have speech. Wa umyun, you are blind, even though you have eyes. La ahraru sidqin 'inda al-liqa, you are not truthful when we meet you. Wala ikhwanu thiqatin 'inda al-bala, nor are you true friends when disaster strikes. And this is what he called his own people from the Ahl Kufa that supported him in the battle of Siffin against Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. This is Ali speaking about his own Shia, meaning his own group that became the Shia later on that we know. Also, it was reported that Ali ibn Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Ali al-Asghar, Zain al-Abidin, the smaller Ali, he said, and it was reported, this is in Al-Ihtijaj, volume number 2, page number 32. This is a book by At-Tabrusi, a well-known Shia scholar. He said, هَلْ تَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّكُمْ كَتَبْتُمْ إِلَىٰ أَبِي. This is Zain al-Abidin when he was taken as a prisoner to Kufa. He spoke to them and he said, do you guys know, Ya Ahla Kufa, that you, أَنَّكُمْ كَتَبْتُمْ إِلَىٰ أَبِي, that you wrote to my father, وَعَطَيْتُمُوهُ وَوَعَدْتُمُوهُ, and you promised him and you gave him your bay'ah, مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمُ الْعَهْدِ, and you gave your ahd and your promise of your bay'ah to them, وَالْمِيثَاقِ, and your agreement and oath to them, ثُمَّ قَاتَلْتُمُوهُ وَخَذَلْتُمُوهُ, then you fought him and you killed him, بِأَيِّ عَيْنٍ تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ, by which eye will you look upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the day of judgment, and when he will tell you on the day of judgment, qataltum atrati, you have killed my beloved family, wantahaktum hurmati, and you have destroyed my honor, wa falastum min ummati, and you are not from my ummah. And this is reported by At-Tabrusi in the book Al-Ihtijaj, volume 2, page 32. Also, Ikhwani, it is reported in Nafis al-Mahmoon, in page number 365, that Zainab, the daughter of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, she cursed the people of Kufa, who were from the people who were the Shia that originally gave bay'ah, said, sah, meaning, shut up, tabban lak, yani tubban lak, right? Which means, keep quiet, sah, ya ahla Kufa, keep quiet, O people of Kufa, taqtuluna rijalakum wa tabkina nisaakum, your men kill us whilst your women cry for us. What sort of treachery is this? Yani falhakimu baynana wa baynakum Allahu yawma fasl al-qada, so indeed the judge between us and you will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, when Allah will judge between us and you. Yani, you have killed us, you have overlooked the trust that you gave to us, you asked us to come to take over Imara, and now you have done this to us. You guys are treacherous people of treachery. In the book Nafs al-Aman fi Ayun al-Shia, this one of the scholars of the Shia called Nafis al-Amin. So Nafis al-Amin, he said in volume number 1, page 326, he said, ثُمَّ بَعْيَ الْحُسَيْنِ, then the people, the Shia, بَعْيَ Hussein, they gave bay'ah to Hussein, and بَعْيَ 20,000 people from Kufa gave bay'ah to him, ثُمَّ غَدَرُوا, then they were treacherous to him, وَخَرَجُوا عَلَيْهِ, and they raised their swords against him, وَقَتَلُوهُ, then they killed him. So they themselves are talking about their elders from their Shia. Can you imagine, we say about our elders from Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they were the best of people, the Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'een. here, I guess the best of the Shia are the last of the Shia, rather than the first of the Shia. The first of the Shia were the ones who killed Al-Husayn radiallahu ta'ala anhu and 18 of the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, the Shaykh of Al-Khumayni. Khumayni, as you know, who was the spiritual head and leader of Iran. And he passed away. They said that Khumayni controls the atoms of creation. And wallahi, I remember seeing the pictures of the death of Khumayni. And Khumayni had gas mask on, asthma mask on. We call it BiPAP mask, because they were giving positive ventilation. He had water in his lungs from heart failure. And so this man who controls atoms of creation could not control his own heart from dying. Allahu musta'an. Ala kulli hal, Khomeini, his sheikh, Murtadi al-Mutahhiri, who was a Sufi Shia philosopher. So you want to add everything together, all together, it's like chili with, what else shall we add? Horseradish with salt. Yeah, put them all together, right? What do you get? You get Murtadi al-Mutahhiri. So Murtadi al-Mutahhiri, he said in his book called Malham al-Husayniyah, in volume 1, page 129. Yeah? He said, Wala Raib. Wala Raib. And there is no doubt. Annal Kufa, that Kufa, Kanu min Shia. That Kufa was the Shia. They were full of Shia, right? The people were Shia. And they were Shi'atu Ali. They were the group of Ali. وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ قَتَلُوا الْإِمَامَ الْحُسَيْنِ هُمْ شِيَعَتُهُ. And indeed the ones who killed Imam Hussein was nothing but the Shi'atu Ali that was in Kufa itself. He said again in volume 3, page 94 of the same book, مَلْحَمَةُ الْحُسَيْنِيَّةِ سَبَقَ أَنْ أَثْبَتْنَا. And like we have already spoken about, أَنَّ مَقْتَلُ الْحُسَيْنِ, that the killing of Hussein was upon the yad al-Muslimin, was upon the hands of believers, upon Muslims, bal ala yad al-Shia, but rather upon the hands of the Shia, ba'da mudi'i 50 aman faqat, upon the passing of 50 years only, ala wafat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَأَمْرٌ مُحِيرٌ وَتُغِيرٌ وَنَغْزٌ عَجِيبٌ وَمَنْفَعَةٌ لِلْغَايَةِ. So what does he say? He said that this fact that the Shia killed the family of the Prophet ﷺ only 50 years after the death of Rasulullah ﷺ, right, is no doubt a matter which is very sad and very worrying and very hurtful. I mean, so even the Sheikh of Khomeini acknowledged the fact that, subhanallah, the Shia were the ones who killed Hussein. So why do they now today ask for revenge from the Ahlul Sunnah? Why did they ask for revenge? Not one people from the 5,000 people that were there that killed the army of Hussein at Karbala was from Sham. Not one of them. Not one Sahabi. Not one person from from the family of Abu Bakr Umar. Not one person, Ikhwani. Why is it that they claim now that Ahlul Sunnah have killed him? Why do they claim that? Wallahi, they're kathabin. That's a lie. They have killed the family. And their own scholars have acknowledged that they are the ones who have killed. And so, Ikhwani, wallahi, this is one of the most biggest lies that we have today. That they hide who were actually killed. They hide the fact that they hide some of the names of the family of the Prophet ﷺ, such as Uthman ibn Ali and Abu Bakr ibn Ali, who were killed on that battle. The fact that they hide who really killed him, which was actually the Shia themselves. The fact that they actually created many lies about the death of Hussein. So they say that anyone who cries on the death of Hussein on the 10th of Muharram will enter Jannah, and anyone who does not cry for the death of Hussein on the 10th of Muharram will go to Jahannam. Why would you cry, you people, when you are the ones who have killed him? You should be crying blood, because you and your families were the ones who killed him, ya ikhwani. And this is the truth, wallahu ta'ala alam. And this is the unfortunate truth of where we are today. My brothers and sisters, Islam, the 10th of Muharram is a day of fasting because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salam on this day. And because in one narration, the boat of Nuh alayhi salam landed on the mountain, on the dry land, after 6 months at sea, on the 10th of Muharram. And on the 10th of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Adam alayhi salam. And on the 10th of Muharram, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned Fir'aun. So it is a day of celebration for us, not a day of huzn. And indeed, it is a day in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted Al-Husayn as a shaheed. And if anyone has any doubt about the aqeedah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, then let me make it very clear about the aqeedah Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah regarding Husayn. We love Husayn. He is from the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is more beloved to us than our own family, than our own fathers and our mothers and our own brothers and sisters and our own children and wives. He is the one who is from the Sayyidah Shabab al-Jannah. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him a place with his grandfather Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest part of Jannah, Firdaus al-A'la. We acknowledge that that may the curse of Allah be upon the killers of Hussein. We acknowledge that may the curse of Allah be upon those who wanted Hussein to die, those who like for Hussein to die. We acknowledge that we do not enjoy the fact that Hussein passed away. Rather, it is a cause of sadness for us as well, because that which made our Prophet sad should make us sad as well. And the killing of one of his family members would have made him sad. So we are saddened at that, Ikhwani. But we are not of those people who claim to have done it. Those who have done it are the Shia themselves. And so as a result, they are the guilty party. They are the ones who should reflect and leave their evil ways. For indeed, they are the Khawana Allahul Musta'an. They are the ones who have acted treacherous to Hussein, and today they act treacherous to the Ummah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My brothers and sisters in Islam, be wary of the fiqrat al-Shia. Be wary of the thoughts of the Shia, because they are spreading amongst the Muslim Ummah. Clarify the truth. Know about the truth. Be wary of this. Guard yourself from all of these mistakes. And know that anyone who is an aqil, who is logical and has any sense of logic, will know the truth about these matters. Like the Shia have invented over 500,000 hadith about the greatness of Ali and Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Invented. As Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah says, over 500,000 hadith, makdhuba, about the greatness of Ali and Hussein. We don't need lies to show their greatness. We know their greatness already. We already make dua for them in our salawat. Why would we need fabricated lies about their greatness of Ali and Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anhu? Rather, we know that they are great, walhamdulillah. Rather, do not be like those people who have entered ghulu about Isa alayhi salam. So they entered now ghulu about Hussein and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And now we have over 60-70 million people tomorrow who will be saying, Ya Hussein, Ya Ali. I mean, Hassan, Hussein could not listen to their people in Kufa. They had to go to Kufa to meet them. They couldn't hear them from Makkah. So what do you think? By you calling out Hassan, Hussein from here, and beating your chest, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Ali, Ya Ali, that they're going to hear you? I mean, by which logic? If Hussein had to go to Kufa, don't you think that they can never hear you? So use your intelligence and your logic, my brothers and sisters in Islam, and be of those people who are upon the pure aqeedah. Wallahu ta'ala alam, wa akhiru ta'awana, anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.